Lakshmi.
Oh, there's your names. Yay. Hello. So Lakshmi's here.
Laura.
Hi. Who else is here?
Angela. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Angela. Great.
Hi, Laura. It's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Laura. It's Katie.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Katie.
It's Julie.
Hi, Julie. Been enjoying seeing all of you post. And who else said that? Pam? Was that Pam?
Yes, it's Pam.
Cool. Good morning. Let me see if we have anyone typing in here on the screen. Not on the screen. Okay. Anybody? Let's see. Demi. All right. So let's get started. I'm going to actually have been going over a few minutes on several of these calls, and I need to get off on time today because I have a meeting with my mentor. Hi, Mary. Saw you pop on there.
Hi.
Hi, Demi. And I'm going to just start, jump right in. Great. So I'm going to quiet the line, and our recording is going. Great. Okay. And let me just go pop back over here to the – oh, and Raisa. Hola, Raisa. Hello. Welcome. Great. Okay. So taking a deep breath, and I'm just standing, actually, and appreciating the beauty of this spring day as we approach the equinox and approach, I believe it's the full moon coming up. No, new moon. That's right. Liz, help me here. I'm going to ask you to look that up. Wait a minute. I have it on my calendar. I always like to know. I'm looking, folks. Yeah, we had a full moon on the 8th, and there's another one coming up. That's right. I was thinking about that. When we're at the retreat, we're going to be in a waxing moon. So there is a – it's not on my calendar. I usually have the new moon, the exact date in my calendar. Yeah. We just had a full moon, so we're going towards – we're in the waning right now. Is that Liz?
Yeah. The new moon is March 22nd.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So as we're ending this class, we're in this phase of actually releasing. It's very appropriate as we end the class because there's so many celebrations, and I want to just – acknowledge all of you who have been sharing your celebrations. Thank you. I was looking this morning at the Ning site and the tremendous awarenesses that have been coming, the awarenesses that releasing fears and doubts, and I'm not going to say I'm a yoga teacher anymore. I'm going to say what I let me just go over there and share some of what I've been seeing because it was so powerful. Celebrating myself as I complete this course. If you didn't get a chance to post yet your celebration, go ahead and do that. The site will be up for another week. If you don't get to post within that week, you can go ahead and send me your email. I want to celebrate my openness, says Demi, to address this lifelong issue about boundaries. Celebrate my willingness and excitement to go from hobby yoga teacher to thriving yoga teacher. I love that. Yes, that's a big change, and I know when I made that change, it made all the difference. Congratulations, Demi. Wonderful. Celebrating Julie, my courage, my continued personal healing, letting go of fear and what is no longer necessary, stepping into the fullness of yoga and the deep truth in my heart. And Lakshmi, thanking Goddess Lakshmi for showering me with all the blessings in my life. I wish to celebrate the fact that I am part of this community, knowing that it is okay to share your fears and weaknesses, yes, with everyone without being judged. And how wonderful to know we can be ourselves. This is me speaking now. We don't have to be perfect. We can show up with all of our imperfections and still be of great service in the world. How wonderful is that? Lakshmi also says, I wish to celebrate that I do have a sense of direction for my business. Yay, Lakshmi, this is so fantastic, and that I am moving forward towards that goal without being too attached to the outcome. And yes, isn't that the yoga of it? We want to move forward with definiteness, with clarity, with power, with enthusiasm. And we always, you know, there is that bit of non-attachment of We're using skill in action. We're stepping forward like our beautiful warrior goddess self, that Durga. And we know that the result is the divine's, not our personal result, whatever it is. Audra is celebrating coming to the retreat. Yay, and leaving Thursday. Me too. Pam, celebrate all that I've accomplished over the years in starting and maintaining a yoga center. That's really great. There's so much work in that, Pam. I honor you. And she says that her center has a great reputation and a lot of heart. I so believe that. I celebrate all the long-term students who are with us. I celebrate the courage to make a big move forward again. Yes. Ivy, celebrate my perseverance to continue working on the many tasks on my to-do list without burning out. Yes. One of my mentors said that starting a business is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So I welcome those of you on this marathon journey that we're so passionate about. And then a lot of you have described here the things that you're clear you need to work on. One of the things that happens when you take a foundations course, and really I consider this a foundations course, is that you get clearer on what is still missing. You can see the pieces that are missing. So I appreciate all of you for your clarity in naming here what's still missing. So again, this site will be up for one more week, and then we'll be starting our retreat. And don't worry if you don't have time to download everything. If you're listening to these calls later, we will have another downloads page. We'll give you the link for that so that you can get anything you might have missed. And you can certainly make connections with people that you want to connect with here. Some people of you I know will be coming to the retreat. And Julie said she was looking forward to a retreat at the sea, and I want to just say that, just for clarity, we're not right at the ocean. I hope you weren't thinking that, Julie. We're about 4 miles from the ocean in beautiful St. Augustine, and I've been told that it's one of the few historic cities in Florida. It actually has a beautiful historic downtown about a mile and a half from where Discover Yoga is, and we're hoping to get to the beach for yoga on Monday morning. That's my intention. So those of you coming, please bring an old towel for yoga at the beach when we're doing our seated postures. Standing postures will be on the sand. And we're sending out an email. I believe it's going out today with everything to bring. So do look over that email very closely. And for those of you who cannot join us, I want to repeat my offer. I'd be happy to get on the phone with you or Skype and talk with you about the next steps for you to take in your business. What is your vision now? What can you see now? What's coming clear? What are the challenges that you still face? What are the challenges that might be next, that might make things hard for you, that you might need help with? And what is a good next step for you? So someone sent me an email and said, is there a charge for this? No, this is complimentary, completely free, no obligation. It's a service that I love to give. And I occasionally open up my calendar for free sessions. It fills very fast. Last time I opened up, I think, as I told you, I had 90 requests. I cannot give away and see that many people in a month. So I have to pick and choose. And I would be very happy to give priority to anyone in this class. So go ahead and send me an email when you... It's Laura at Divine Feminine Yoga, L-A-U-R-A, at Divine Feminine Yoga. And if you can't make it to the retreat, I'd be happy to set something up for when I get back, beginning of April. Okay. I think that's everything I wanted to say introductory. Okay, so this is our final mentoring call for the Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. And we have a couple of things on the agenda. I have people who have requests out there, and we're going to start with those. And then if we have time, we'll open it up for those of you on the phone. Katie Tate, I'll just tell you the request that I believe I have. And if I miss your name, raise your hand right away if you have put a request on the forum that I missed for some reason. Katie Tate had a question about what to develop next in her business, given that she's about to move in 6 months. and doesn't want to really put down too many roots, but wants to make progress. So we'll look at that. Pam Jackson, we've been talking about looking at her flyer, so we're going to look at that. And Angela had a and Angela and Demi both had questions on the forum for today under questions for mentoring session 4. So we will get to both of those. If you posted something in, that was a question or a request and I missed it, would you raise your hand by pressing *2 right now? And then I'll just check in so that I know what my agenda is. Great. There's Angela. Hi.
Hi. I just also posted a before and after if you wanted to use that, but you don't have to.
Okay, great. Thanks for letting me know. And when you're on, maybe we can look at that too.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks, Angela. Get to you in a few minutes. Okay. Anyone else press *2 to let me know? I'm going to go over to the Q&A. You can just type in Raisa. Okay. So let's start with Katie's question. I'm going to go to Katie's question now. If I can find it. Okay. Two questions I'd love to address in the next session. And there's been a good discussion about her first teaching experience. And so the one I want to reply to that I didn't get to was, okay, let me read it. I would love to learn suggestions that Laura or the forum in general has for developing a business model specialization that can be transportable. I may have to move at the end of this summer, but there is no way I can last for the next 5, 6, 7 months without teaching and growing. Okay. Absolutely, Katie. I think we all hear that. If, you know, if we have yoga teaching in our blood, in our soul, in our heart, we do need to be actively doing it or we start to wither a little bit and we forget our identity. It's like it's in that process of teaching that so much juice comes out. So, yes. And there have been suggestions for you here about finding ways to teach even if you have to move soon. I feel that I have just acquired so many skills in my training, and I would love to use them to help others, even if over a short period of time. At the same time, I'd like to invest time and energy into developing my specialization through research. Now, if you're on the forum, Katie, if you're with us today live, would you raise your hand? Because I'd love to know what you mean by this. This may inform my response. So go ahead and press *2. Excuse me. I'm going to finish reading this. Curriculum design. Resources I can offer future students so that I am actually building a business even if I am not able to work in the classroom in the near future as much as I would like. This situation is proving to be a challenge. I just passed an audition for a teaching position just before I found out I may be moving, and the studio requires a 6-month commitment starting in May. I can't conscientiously commit. I could only give 3 to 4 months. Many, many thanks for ideas and suggestions. So first of all, congratulations for passing your audition, Katie, and I am sure that if you pass an audition here, you can pass it again in a new place, okay? And so I know that's kind of heartbreaking if you really wanted to do that. Now, honestly, if you pass the audition and they like you and you are honest with them and you tell them you have to move in 3 or 4 months, they might give you sub-positions, or they might, if at the last minute someone is sick and has to go out on sick leave, I would tell them that you'd love to do anything they have for you, and they might plug you in somewhere. Even if it's not exactly what you had hoped for at first. And also there have been suggestions here about teaching in gyms, subbing. I would do whatever you can just to be out there teaching. I totally agree you need to be teaching. Now, the first thing, just in brief, in response to your first question, what is a business model or specialization that can be transportable? Okay. The number one transportable business model is an online teaching model. And I know it might seem like, how can you teach yoga online? But there is more and more yoga being taught online via phone mentoring or Skype, where you can actually see the person and they can see you. I recently talked to a fitness trainer who has working for him several yoga teachers and other fitness trainers, and he has his entire practice on Skype. And he fully employs his yoga teachers. think he had one and he was looking for another, so I shouldn't say plural, but his teacher was here and then moved, I'm in Oakland, moved to Los Angeles, and still sees all of her clients on Skype. So this is happening more and more. That's one way to go. But I don't know if your niche or your area that you want to work in, if you feel comfortable starting to teach online. But if you do, any online pieces that you can develop that relate to your area of specialization are absolutely transportable. So one of the things we talked about was creating a free gift for your website. This is a free gift that is attractive to your niche, to your target audience, people you most love to serve, that would be downloadable in when people put in their name and their email on your opt-in box, which usually I recommend it goes on the home page. So people put their name and their email, they receive a link to get your gift, and when they get their gift, then they're on your email list, and you continue to send them valuable email content and stay in touch with them. You nurture a relationship. And I'll tell you, nurturing relationships by email is something that is very powerful. I just got a thank you letter from someone who's been in this program, and she said that really it was through receiving my emails over an extended period of time and then the invitation to this class that encouraged her to step in. If she would not have been receiving my emails and hadn't already felt that she knew me, she wouldn't have signed up for this class. So nurturing relationships through emails. You can develop your website template, your email template, your free gift before you move if you're going to be maintaining your niche. Now, let me go see if you've raised your hand, Katie. I don't see any hands, so you are not here live. Okay. If you want to develop your specialization through research, the curriculum design, Katie, is absolutely transportable. Finding out about your target audience is transportable. Doing client interviews, ideal client interviews in your target area is absolutely transportable. Getting the marketing language is transportable. The name of your program, your flyers are transportable. What is not transportable is your networks of people. Okay, so if you develop a lot of networks in New York City, that you would need to develop those again. Okay. I'm going to check the Q&A in case Katie happens to be on Q&A. Okay, great. So, Katie, I hope that helps, and you can reply on the forum and let us know if that was helpful to you. Good luck to you, and I believe you're moving for graduate school. Congratulations, congratulations on that. I know you're doing well. I know it's hard to move, but things seem like they're moving really well for you. Okay. Pam. If you could raise, let me see if I see you. I know you're in Portland. There we go. Pam?
Yep.
Hi.
Right here. Hi. How are you?
Yeah. Good to hear you. How's it going?
It's going okay. I don't know. I feel like I haven't really had the time I would like to do more work on this yet. But
yep. Takes a lot of time.
And I would love your feedback on where it is now.
Okay. So have you posted the latest? So you want to work on the flyer right now?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. You just posted it. So I'm going to look at the forum. And in case anyone's listening to this recording later and the forum isn't up, we're going to post anything relevant to what we talk about in here. I see your last reply, Pam, was March 12th. I don't see a recent one from you.
No, what? I put it in today. I put it in the questions for today, for this call.
All right. Okay, got it. Let me go down there. Aha. Okay. Thank you. Got it. Pam Jackson. Hi, Laura. Here's where I am with the private yoga flyer. So everybody who's following along with us live, you can go to the forum, questions for group mentoring session 4. If you're listening after the forum is down, it will be on the materials for module 4. Are you comfortable with other people looking at this later, Pam?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. We'll put it in the materials. Okay, great. So then you scroll down, you see Pam, and you what you do is you click on just a little technical, you know, help here. There's her reply. It says 33 minutes ago, "Hi, Laura, here's where I am with the private yoga flyer update. Still feel like it has a ways to go, but it's coming along. Thank you." Then it says attachments. You just click on PamJacksonPersonalYoga.pdf. Okay. All right, Yoga with Ease. Nice title. I would maybe cap the E so that it's really clear that that's the title. Yoga with Ease, and I would make private yoga sessions bigger. Let's see, are you noticing the effects of age and stress on your body? Question mark. Are you noticing that you feel out of balance? Let's change that. Are you noticing recovering from injuries or illness? That doesn't work, Pam. You want all your bullets to work with the opening phrase?
Aha.
It has to all fit.
It has to fit with yoga with you.
Mm-hmm. So you might say, do you feel, that might be more general, do you feel the effects of age and stress on your body? Question mark. Let me just skim the whole thing and then see where I want to spend the most time. Yoga has so much to offer, from glowing physical health to a deep sense of balance and ease in life. A series of private sessions creates time for learning, releasing tension, and habits of holding. Whether you're beginning or experienced, these sessions will help you become joyfully embodied, find calmness and focus, and learn lifelong tools for grounding, steadiness, and empowerment. Schedule your own class with Pam. $60 per hour, special first-time offer, series of 5 or more at 20% off. Pam Jackson, Kripalu certified instructor, has been guiding whole heart yoga center teaching. She has found in yoga the balance of effort and ease that's needed to approach life wholeheartedly. Along with yoga, Pam integrates her life wisdom with Ayurveda studies and empowerment training. Okay, it's way improved from the first version that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was...
Go ahead.
And I feel like, partly, I feel like I need to do more work deciding who it is that I really want to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
I've picked up a lot of these pieces from research, and they a lot of them feel right, but I still feel like there's more that I need to do in this process to really get this working.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and on the other hand,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say I don't want to be a perfectionist about it either. It's like,
right,
it's got to start flying.
Absolutely, and that's right. And done, not perfect, is a good adage, or you know, done, not perfect. Just get it out there, even if it's not perfect.
Right.
And let's see if we can. So Pam, in your heart, who do you most love working with?
I love working with women who are, well, or men. I have worked with some great men, too, who are stressed out, maybe not moving really well in their bodies. And then they take classes, whether they're private or general classes, and really open up in terms of movement, in terms of energy, working with their minds, their mental thinking patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sounds like what's juicy for you is not necessarily, well, it's the process of release, of watching somebody go from constricted in their mind and their body to open and free and more joyous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's clear. That's really clear. How did you pick the word ease for your title?
Um, I was thinking of the people who approach the word yoga, or they don't approach it. They just have heard the word yoga, and they still think of it as pretzel position.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, maybe that's not really my audience. Maybe that's...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I do want it. I want there to be a lot of ease in it. And I think I am known for teaching relatively gentle yoga. So there is a real element. It's accessible. It's really approachable.
Okay.
So that's part of where that came from.
Okay. Okay, great. So that's also really, really clear. What I'm hearing is about you, and I'm not necessarily hearing about your ideal clients. So if you think about a woman or a man coming to you who is this stressed-out person, do they say, I'm looking for easy yoga, I'm looking for yoga with ease? What do they say? What are their words? When you have a new student who's like really kind of freaked out, oh, my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. It might be really hard. Maybe they're worried about the pretzel thing. But what do they say they want?
They usually say they want stress reduction. Flexibility. They usually speak pretty generally.
Yeah.
Flexibility, strength. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yoga with ease is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you've hit it yet. And
that's
what
I feel.
Yeah. And I don't even hear it in your words right now as we're speaking. So what I have you done, did you do any interviews with ideal clients recently?
I did a couple interviews, yeah.
Do you have
but
that?
They were both.
You're cutting in and out, Pam. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I am. It's my cell phone.
Okay. Anybody else who's coming in on the call, if you can try to be on a landline, it'll be better quality. It's okay. All right. So can you think of any juicy words of the pleasure that they want, the benefit they want? Are you there? Yeah.
Yes, I'm still here. I'm just thinking.
Like, do they wake up and say, when the middle of the night and they're like, oh, my shoulder's hurting again, do they say to their sweetie if they're waking up, I just need to feel more ease in my body? That sounds like what an experienced yoga teacher would say, not what a neophyte would say.
Right.
We know
well,
that they
one
need...
of these.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say one of the clients that I interviewed was not a neophyte with yoga. She had just been out of it for a few years.
Okay.
So she was fun to interview, but she probably didn't give me the right words.
Right language. Mm-hmm. You really want unless your target is advanced students. If you work with advanced students, then that's your ideal client. That's who you should be interviewing. But if the people who you really are targeting for private lessons are beginners in pain and the ones who are stressed out, that's who you need to interview.
Right.
You need to get inside their mind. We're not quite there yet with this flyer. You're still in your mind a little bit. Okay? So, did you interview one person who was in this target population?
The other one I interviewed was a brand new beginner who had mono.
Uh-huh.
And her doctor recommended yoga so that she
uh-huh.
could do something moving again.
Good.
And this was like mono for the fourth time.
Yeah.
And
poor thing.
But there it was very much a, you know, coming out of illness, starting to move again, and then finding all these delights in yoga that she had never considered she would find.
What, like such as?
She's calmer than she's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing better.
Mm-hmm.
steadier.
Okay, so Pam, if we were going to improve on what you have here, we could. The word delight is a good word. You could say yoga with delightful ease, or private yoga sessions. Let's see, how would I do this? Because you remember what I said in the Lakshmi call about the flowers and the bees, right?
Yes.
This is not quite a flower yet. It's like, how could I say it? It's like a nice tree. It's a reasonable, thoughtful tree. What we want is the headline, the title, to be the beautiful flower that the bees go, wow. The right bees that are going to be able to pollinate that flower get excited about. It takes a little bit more than the basics, okay? So you could say, enjoy yoga with delightful ease, or private yoga sessions, private sessions for yoga with delightful ease. And I'm just going on the one word that you said that's the juiciest so far, which is delight.
Right.
I'm still not sure that's the right word. Yoga with, let's see, ease. I'm thinking about your target. If I'm inside your target population, put on my thinking cap for your target. I would go, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to throw this out. The other title that I came up with at one point was Yoga for Empowered Women, which is a whole different audience, really.
It's a totally different audience. Then they would need to already feel empowered to feel like they were in your target. And a lot of women would like to be stronger and clearer and happier.
You're right.
But they don't.
And that's what
I'm like. They're like, oh, maybe I'm not that yet, maybe I don't qualify. I mean, I don't know. Do I qualify? So,
I would think of that as not the, that would be the result.
Right. How about yoga for flexibility? Yoga for flexibility. Let's see, yoga for flexibility and ease. Give yourself the gift of a delightful private yoga session. No, that's not right yet.
Well, I'll work on it. I feel like I got all these different pieces and I haven't had the time to adapt to it.
Yeah, if your people say they want stress reduction, try that. You can do stress reduction yoga.
Right.
Stress reduction yoga might be. Excuse me?
I was just saying that doesn't really do any. Well, I'll think about that.
Stress reduction yoga, or let's see. Or even just give yourself the gift of a private session, and then yoga for ease and peace. Yoga for health, a lot of people come to it for health. Yoga for health, peace, and comfort. Do you feel, now, are you noticing the effects of age and stress on your body? Do you feel stressed out more than you like? Do you feel stiff and uncomfortable in your own body? Are you recovering? And you can make these separate questions. You know, do you feel stressed out more than you like? Do you feel stiff and uncomfortable in your own body? Are you recovering from an injury or illness? Is your mind stuck in really painful ways of thinking? Now, that's something a yoga teacher would say. What would a person say who did not have the yoga teaching experience? They would say, oh, I feel bad all the time. Why am I depressed? They don't know that it's their thoughts causing it.
Right.
They really don't yet. So it's like, do you feel down in the dumps? You know, do you have low energy? Do you suffer from low energy? You know, do you wake up feeling anxious and with low energy? That's what they might be noticing. You know, once their thoughts are in a better way and they're able to notice their thoughts, they will have more energy and be calmer. Transition and wondering what's next. I think that weakens your focus here.
Yeah, I don't think that goes with right now.
You've mentioned a couple benefits that beginners want. I would list those. You know, in a private session, you will learn how, you know, get individualized recommendations for flexibility and strength. Learn how to improve your immune system. These are bullet points. You will. So you will get, you know, learn how to improve your strength and flexibility, learn how to, you know, you will gain tools for your own immunity, and finally, you know, find peace of mind and inner calm.
Great.
Now, I highly recommend first session free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different way of doing it. If you look at the, you could do a free phone consultation to help them decide whether they wanted to step into a group of paid sessions. If you look at the Lakshmi model, we did a sample with Lee Maso, where she was inviting people to a free consultation. These were caregivers of mothers of disabled children. She's doing yoga relaxation for mothers of disabled children and wellness coaching for them. And that's a sample of how to invite people into a free session. So look at that. What happens is many people are shy to ask for a private lesson. They think, well, I don't know. It's less expensive to go to a class. I'll just go to a class. And they never sign up. And what happens is when you invite them to a free session and you do just a little bit of free, they're amazed at how much they like it. And then they start talking about what they want. And they go deep. And they love the private attention. They really do. And then you're able to tell them how you would help them specifically in a way that they would not be able to get in a class. And they get very excited, and they're much more likely to step into a group, you know, a package of private sessions.
Right.
Whereas if you just offered it and the first one they had to pay for, it's a hump. It's a hurdle to get over that many people will never get over.
Right.
And I used to do it exactly the way you're doing it. When I changed to first session free, my entire business changed. Completely.
Would you include on this flyer the series offers? Or would you just do the first three?
I highly recommend just making the first. The way that I've been trained to do it, that has been really worked well and has worked well for my clients, is you make the flyer an invitation. It's like each step of the way you are inviting people to the next step. So the next step for them is to do a free session with you.
Okay.
You don't know if it will be right for them. If they're not a match for you, if you can't help them, you will not offer for them to become an ongoing client. You will make a referral to someone else.
Yeah.
So you invite to one thing at a time. So go ahead and look at Lee's invitation there. Play with your title. I'm thinking something like stress relief yoga. Give yourself the gift. Give yourself the gift of health, peace, and inner freedom. Or give yourself the gift of health, ease, and wellness or joy. Stress relief yoga sounds a little better than stress reduction. Okay, you're doing good work, Pam. I like it. And your bio's gotten
very much,
great.
Laura. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Angela. Let me come over to the phone. Angela, you are. Yay, she raised her hand. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Great. So how can I help you today?
The first question I had posted, I think, last week was, I know that a lot of what I've been hearing in the class has been focusing on women.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the struggles I had was naming the audience in, let's say,
mm-hmm.
a flyer, and what I've come out with is really not identifying whether it's man or woman. I do
mm-hmm.
have mainly women, but I didn't
mm-hmm.
want to limit it to that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that was partly the, you know, when we're doing our passion statement, you know, I
yep.
often found I am passionate about working with people rather than women, and I didn't know if that was too weak. Not that people
right, right,
are weak.
Right. Okay, so let's work on this. So I totally understand. It sounds like you don't need to limit yourself to women if what you're doing, you know, if somebody's working with prenatal or particularly women's empowerment, it's like or mothers or women going through menopause or menstruation. Those are very specific female things, or a women's circle, like I have my Blissful Goddess circle. Those would be things you would really want to call out women. But if what you're doing is more stress relief, or let me see what you've got here. Yeah, you're doing stress reduction. So that might be women and men.
Right.
And, yeah, totally, you know, and like most yoga teachers, you will have mostly women students, but then some men students. I know when I was teaching primarily, quote-unquote, regular yoga classes, that, you know, I had mostly women and always had one or two, and still do, actually. I have one yoga class that I teach in a school for teachers after school of one lovely, delightful man. So that's not a women's only class. So I think it's fine. You don't have to say women. But then when you're calling out your audience, it could be that you're passionate about helping people who have been feeling a lot of stress. I mean, is there any particular group of stressed out folks that you work with, like workers or young people, or is it all stressed?
Yeah, because I was also focusing on the retreat that I run, and I'd say the first time I ran it, it was mainly stay-home women, right?
Okay.
They were stressed mm-hmm. out about finances. Then the next year I'd found it was a different group. Last year I found out I had few young people who had post-traumatic stress disorder. So it was quite, I don't find that there's a pattern that
mm-hmm.
I can sort of hang my hat on. Sure, in my weekly class, I would say it's more the working person coming in, or working
mm-hmm.
women. Or
mm-hmm.
single moms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I have in the flyer in my revised bio is that it says Angela is passionate about helping others develop, blah, blah, blah. So I haven't said men or women.
Okay. So a little tip for you, Angela. If you're working with stress, this is hard. You know, you kind of have a decision to make. One thing that I'm hearing in what you say is that you're getting a lot of different target populations. If you're really, really wanting to grow, and I know this might sound counterintuitive, one way to really grow would be to pick one of these targets. And you're saying, oh, you know, women, people who are stressed out about money. Gee, another year I got a lot of people with trauma and PTSD. Gee, another year it's working people. If you are more passionate about one of these groups, if you can pick one, believe it or not, and if you narrow your audience, I know it sounds strange, and you go really deep and you really get very good at working with that audience and offer really deep resources for that audience, all of a sudden you will become much more attractive to that audience. All of a sudden your radiance as a yoga teacher will shine through much more brightly. You will have many more referrals if you were to go narrower. And I know this sounds counterintuitive,
that makes sense. I get that completely.
If you listen to the success interviews, like the one, the
mm-hmm.
woman who was focused on fertility, right? So once she said, wow, in my own journey, I had trouble with fertility, had trouble conceiving. So then she focused on that. All of a sudden, it's much easier for her. All these doors open up for her to get into hospitals and with nurses and referrals from midwives. And all of a sudden now she's, you know, has a really full, thriving business that's just focused on fertility. So I'll just ask you, is any one of these more of a passion to you than the other areas of stress?
One that comes up first for me is stress from work.
Okay.
People who work in careers or, you know, very full-time jobs, and
Okay.
And again, going back to the women who are often also running a house and raising kids. And they come, and I'm thinking of the weekly class at this point, but also for the retreat, they come to class completely exhausted.
Okay.
Because they're overloaded.
Were you ever a working mom?
I still am a working mom. Yes. and we should only specify working with pay, because every mom's a working mom, but yeah, working for pay.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, I got it. So here's the thing. Oftentimes we will be the best at serving a group that we ourselves are or were a member of.
Yes, I hear that in the messages, so I'm picking that up. I think the radar is coming in loud and clear on that one, yeah.
So I would recommend going now. Here's the thing. Once you really call out your audience, stressed out, overburdened working moms, that might be who you call out for the retreats.
Okay.
And for your private clients.
Okay.
Now, you might still be open to men, and you might still have men in your group classes. But whenever you specialize, and all of your marketing material, all of your energy goes into this niche then. And you might still have a man come to you and say, gosh, I'd really like to work with you privately because I'm having this effect from stress. But what happens is once you really call out your audience, they like, oh, finally someone understands me. But, you know, and they get so grateful and they tell their friends. But when you're trying to be general and broad, that does not happen. You look
right.
Like every other yoga teacher on the planet.
Can you say working parent? Because there's a lot of single dads.
Sure. Okay.
Working,
yes.
Working parent rather than working mom.
Yes, you certainly could if that's what feels right to you. Some I know we have one woman in this class doing a whole thing on sacred mothering that was in the Lakshmi flyer, right? Flyer was in the Lakshmi module. For her, it really is about the feminine. The mothering aspect. But if that's not what it is for you, if it's just being a working parent and loving your kid, and how can you balance loving your kid with the amount of work and the stress and the sleep, and then the kid gets sick and then you get sick, that's a great focus. It does not have to be women.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I have to go change the flower that I just posted again. That's awesome.
Yeah. So any other thing about this?
No, I think that's good. And I think I will. I did post the flyers, but we don't, the before and after, but we don't have to do that. You and I can do that on our private session.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it because I think, yeah, I mean, a lot of parents, I mean, gosh, my husband raised his kid and he was working 3/4 time and supporting the family and raising a child and just love, you know. So, yeah, and I think that if you are a woman who you want to reach out to men as well as women, that's great. And there's a lot of dads, single dads. And is it single parents for you or is it
No, they're just both parents. They're, yeah, together.
Okay.
Some are single, but most of them are together.
Yeah, and see, and then it's not so much about yoga. Then it's the yoga becomes one tool that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
People think of yoga in our Western Hemisphere very narrowly. We think of it as exercise. When actually, you know, there's the yoga of parenting, right? There's the yoga of communication. There's the yoga of listening to your child. There's the yoga of getting support for yourself. There's singing with your child, singing your child to sleep. That's yoga, right? That's the yoga of sound. People don't think of that as yoga. So when you stop putting the emphasis on I'm a yoga teacher, but no, I serve stressed out parents who love their children and want to find the balance to care for themselves so they can have more to give their child. That's going to be very attractive to people. And then you have many tools. Yoga will be one of your tools, right? But self-awareness is another one, and dialogue, and how to get support for yourself, and, you know, guided meditations before you go to bed yourself, and different self-care routines, and ways to be with your child, ways to listen to your child, the yoga of listening.
Mm-hmm. And I think it allows then the easier transition to talking about the yoga philosophy in a very practical sort of way.
Yes, and that can be the content of your retreat. That can be the content of your free gift. That could be the content of your virtual program. This is a really good one to take online.
Yes.
It is. It really is. It's a very clear niche for online.
speaking of overwork, now I have two jobs. Okay, perfect. This is awesome.
No, you develop it gradually. It's like, yeah, that's what I said. This is a marathon. You can walk it. You can walk your marathon, right? You don't have to run it.
You bet. Yes.
But you do have to keep taking those steps.
Mm-hmm. This has been great. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, good work. Thank you. Okay. So, let's see. Demi. Where is Demi? Demi, would you raise your hand, star two? Demi?
Hello.
Hi there, Demi.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
So I had a few as I'm trying to figure out my grief workshop that I'm working on.
We just lost you. You're coming in and out.
Oh, gosh. And I don't have a landline. I just have a... Are you there?
Yeah, gotcha. Say that again. We lost you from the beginning.
Okay. So as I work on my grief workshop, I'm coming up with some questions that I'd like some help with.
Okay. You're still coming in and out, but I'm getting enough words that I think you have, I know what you mean. You have questions you want help with. Is there anywhere you can stand in your house that you get the best reception?
Let me move to a different spot. Okay. How about here?
There, we're getting all. Yes, it is.
Okay. Sorry. I have some questions about my grief workshop. Just some detail kinds of things. Like, as I was planning it, as I mentioned on the forum,
yes,
I came up with, when I did my process, I came up with these 7 steps that I took when I went through grief of losing my husband.
Yes.
And it was amazing. They just fit so perfectly
mm-hmm.
into the chakras.
Yes.
So it makes me think that I need to do 8 sessions, 7
mm-hmm.
for each, one for each chakra, and then one kind of a culminating session.
Mm-hmm.
And does that feel like too much to you?
Let's look at it. My answer is it depends on your people. It depends on a lot of things. But first of all, I want to acknowledge you for your clarity. It sounds like you've worked really well, and this is a great example for everyone listening of working with the unit on Saraswati and getting clear on your deepest gift, your best gift, and you looking at your process and then playing with it. I'm guessing that this idea that they fit into the chakras did not come right away, that was a process of a lot of creativity, Demi, that you had to go through to get to that clarity. Because oftentimes our creative process is messy, there's messing around, and then all of a sudden it falls into place after the mess. And I really want to acknowledge you for your clarity. So that's the first thing. Good job.
Thank you.
And getting it into steps is really, really good. So, you know, somebody else might say that their healing from grief process was different. It had 4 steps or it had 4 components, but you're naming 7 that you really know in your body, in your life experience, and that you can teach. And that's excellent. Now, as far as is 8 2-hour sessions too much, really depends on, gosh, where you are in your business, how many students you have, how many of them would actually sign up for something like that, how much income you would need to make from it. Are you able to do this just as an experiment, as a gift, or do you need to be making income with each piece of the way as you move forward? So if you know you have 8 steps, right, they can be packaged in many ways. You could do 1-day-long workshop and spend a 30 minutes on each of the steps or 45 minutes on each of the steps and then have an integration or something like that. So it wouldn't have to be spread out. Asking people to commit to 2 hours over an extended period of time could be a big commitment for people. So
yeah,
what do you think, knowing your people and the number? I mean, first of all, have you ever taught in this niche before, or have you been teaching quote-unquote regular yoga classes?
I have been teaching regular yoga classes, and this is a big step for me.
Okay.
Really big step for me. I have done some workshops, some day-long and half-day workshops.
On what topic?
But nothing longer than that. just recently, not on this topic, on
okay.
on not as emotionally charged topic as this. Just
mm-hmm.
like one was making the transition from spring to winter, or from winter to spring, and
mm-hmm.
one was on opening our hearts. You know, it was just a general topic. Just to...
okay. So here's the thing. This is where the real work starts, Demi, of building a business and building your passion. And that is to start looking at assessing your networks, assessing your current student population. So if you look at the number of students you currently have, do you have any idea how many of them might have recently suffered a grief event, like a loss of a loved one? How big is your student group?
Well, I have 4 classes that I teach in different places, and so it's different. I have probably 50 regular students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have any of them, have you been talking with any of them about grief or their situations?
A little bit. And I have probably, that I know of, 10 that have had some recent losses.
That's a significant number. That's actually not small. That's not insignificant. Okay, so that's good. Because that could be the core for a workshop. In other words, you could talk with those 10 and see how many of them would be able to come at the same time. Like, you know, one thing that comes up for me would be a monthly group, like a Sunday evening, like my Blissful Goddess Circle is Sunday evening. And you could start with a one Sunday, I don't know if you want to do Sunday evening, you could do Friday evening, Saturday evening, or some other evening, or a Saturday morning, but monthly might work where you do once a month and invite them to the first one for free. And once you get those 10, if you can get even 5 of them to all commit to come at the same time, then you could start inviting through your other networks or, cancer support centers or other we would need to look at where you could go to put up a flyer. You might be able to get more to add on.
I have a connection with our local hospice.
Great.
Group, our organization.
Really yep. So you would probably get some more. If you can start with your own core and then add on through networking. Now let me ask you, are you more drawn to do this monthly, weekly, or in a whole weekend format? What are you thinking?
Well, originally I was thinking of doing it weekly, but then I started thinking about the commitment and also the processing that goes on with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a deep topic and such a deep personal experience that people really need time to process it. So then I was thinking spreading it out a little bit more, but then I'm concerned about the commitment level if it's spread out so far.
You know what I'm getting is like a 4 hours on a Saturday or Sunday once a month for 8 sessions. And I would actually make the first one free and then do 7 more, so there's 8 total.
Once a month.
Mm-hmm. And maybe longer than 2 hours. Maybe 4,
mm-hmm.
so that you have time for sharing what they've learned since the previous month, doing a good long yoga session, and then teaching a skill, giving them some journaling homework, giving them some time for partnering and dialogue. Maybe 3
mm-hmm.
hours. How does this sound?
Yeah, when I put 2 hours, I thought that would be rushed, that I didn't want to, it felt like it would be easier for people to commit for 2 hours, but it
mm-hmm.
felt a little rushed.
Yeah. I mean, if you think you already have 10 people, yoga students who like you and know you and trust you, that might sign up, and then you have outside networks, plus if you tell all of your students, even the others who do not have a recent grief experience, might tell a friend. And you can ask,
mm-hmm.
you can announce it to all of your classes and say, you know, I would really appreciate it if this would be a great service to me and also a great service to your friends. If you know somebody who has recently lost a loved one, a child, a spouse, a parent, a close friend, someone who supported someone through an illness and lost them, or had a sudden loss, it would really be a this is going to be a powerful workshop. This is going to be a great gift to your friend for you to pass this on, and also a gift for me. So I'm giving you this flyer, and I would, you know, please just, if there's anyone you can think of that has recently lost someone, would you please tell them about this? And then send it by email to your list and ask them to forward it. So you're making the request, and this is going back to the Lakshmi folks, the whole unit of abundance. You need to abundantly promote. Because if you really believe in what you're doing, you want to tell as many people as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as many venues as possible. So if you give them a print flyer, so the people who are good with print flyers, they'll take it and they might give it to their friend, or they might put it in their backpack, and then when they get home they see it and they're reminded, and then they call their friend. If you send it in an email, those people who are good with email will just forward it on to their friend, because you've already asked them, you've already made a heart connection with them about why, and you could say, you know, I lost my husband. It was one of the hardest experiences of my life. And I am so grateful I had yoga. And honestly, the best learning in my relationship to yoga has come from healing my grief. And now I want to, so you're owning your own learning, Demi. And then you say, and now I want to give this to others. This is my passion. I know there's other people out there suffering with the loss of a loved one who don't have these tools that I had. And that's why I want to do this workshop. So please pass this on. They will feel your heart connection, and they like you. They're your students. They want to help you. They will pass it on for you to the right people. So if you feel like 2 hours is too short, then go with 3 or 4 and do it monthly.
Okay. That, yeah, that feels better. That whole
I'm excited.
Time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's a little scary.
It is. It really is. What's the scariest part for you?
Well, this is, I've never done anything like this, for one thing.
Yep.
And it's also, you know, even though it's been 11 years since my husband died, I'm still dealing with the grief. And so it's not like I've solved the problem.
That's
I
right.
I go in there and this is the answer. So it's
right.
It is kind of scary to walk into something that is still so tender with my own emotions.
Yes.
So that's what's sad. It's scary as well.
It's also sad.
But I'm excited about it. And the people I've told about it are really supportive and excited. And in fact, one of my students lost his wife about the same time I lost my husband. And he said, I'm going to come to that workshop. So he's excited about it. So.
You know you're on the right path when that starts happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know what you're saying is so helpful for everyone on this call, Demi, and your situation. You are not alone in this. First of all, you're not alone in losing the pain, in the painful experience of the loss. Taking a breath as I say that. And you're not alone in doing something new.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we grow a business, it is new. And you are not the only person on this call, and I'll just raise my hand, you know, doing something new. It's like everything we do is new for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to do something new,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And the other thing that you're bringing up about your own healing not being finished, I want to just say that, first of all, none of us are ever finished.
Yeah.
And it's really important to have support while you're going through this. Have a close friend perhaps be in the workshop as your support person.
Yeah, actually I have a close friend who's also a yoga teacher who is, but we're thinking of doing this together.
Okay.
Doing a co-teaching this workshop. She just recently lost her mother. And so she's got that perspective of losing a parent.
Yep. Yeah.
So that was something that I was wondering about, too. My experience is in losing a husband. I also have lost my father. But I don't have experience with losing a child.
Yep.
So I'm...
That's okay. You don't have to have every experience in the world to be open to that, and you will probably get some people in your class who have lost a child. And you just need to be open and tender to their experience and share your own. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there may, you may find that a lot of what you learned is exactly the same for them, and some of it is different when you lose a child than when you lose a partner or a parent.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it, I'm guessing, is overlap, and I'm guessing there are some specific thoughts that might be different. The grieving process might be different for different reasons. And your own healing will be activated through doing this, and you will go to another level of your healing. And so take time for that, plan for that, and give it time, and know that your grief will come up. You might be in a workshop, and it activates your grief, and when it's over, you need to take the next week to do some more of your own processing and have that ready. If that means you get in back into a grief support group while you're going through this, you will come to a new level of your own healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's another thing that, I don't know if it scares me, but it makes me a little nervous, I guess.
It's something to know about and to plan for. And, you know, if it's too raw, I would say you might not be ready. It sounds to me like you are ready.
Mm-hmm.
Or you wouldn't have had this idea.
I am ready. Yeah.
It sounds to me like you are ready, and just to know that, yeah, something might come up. It's like, it's, you know, things come up for me. I'm teaching a class, and I say, wow, I better go back and tap on that. And I will go, and I will take time the next day to do my emotional clearing about whatever came up for me when I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to me all the time. And so it's just a part of the process.
Yeah.
I think you're ready.
Yeah, I feel like I am. As I was going back and forth between this or Yoga for Cancer, which
mm-hmm.
is another thing I dealt with,
mm-hmm. Sure.
Is this one just? I think the cancer one would have been easier.
Okay.
But this
yeah.
one just kept coming up. This is what I need. I want to do. This is what is calling me.
Right. I get it.
And I go back to go. Oh, but. The one for cancer wouldn't be quite as emotionally charged, or it won't be quite as difficult to find people, or whatever it would be. And then I would always go back to this one. So this one's the one that's calling me.
Yeah, and I'm getting that you are going to have enough people to make it a go.
Yeah.
All right. Good work, Dana. Right. You're doing beautifully.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. It really is. Yeah. Okay, so we're open now. I believe we got through all the requests. And I just want to say that Katie posted on the Ning site for Pam. I love this, Kate. She has an idea for Pam's flyer. It says, ease into yoga. I love it. Ease into yoga. So using the same words, just turning them around. That is actually quite juicy, Katie. Good job. Ease into yoga could be the beginning. And then this Pam, it's kind of like, yeah, you get an easy beginning and you're easing into it. Kind of like easy does it. I like ease into yoga a lot. And then so you could say ease into yoga. Start out gently with private yoga sessions to bring you to greater health, peace, and freedom. Something like that. Thank you, Katie. Good idea. This is the power of a group. Thank you all for being so supportive of each other. Okay, so I'm just looking here. So remember my questions about resume for a new teacher and your opinion about teaching at home. Okay, this is from Raisa. Aha, okay. Let me go look here at how you... I think I answered that on the forum, Raisa, but let me see what I said, and maybe there's something more. I'm going to go to the forum, to Raisa's page, and find that question. Raisa, let me click on you, and two important questions. I'm going to read this. I am writing my resume and don't have previous experience teaching. How can I write a good resume? I am thinking to open a yoga group or workshop in my house. I have a nice basement. What is your opinion about teaching at home? Thanks. Namaste, Raisa. I meant to... Oh, this was a comment. somehow I have the memory of replying, Raisa, but maybe I didn't, so let me reply now. if you don't have previous experience teaching, what you can do to write a resume would be name, I'm assuming this is for teaching that you want to give to the doctor. I know you had been teaching in a doctor's office. You could give this to a medical office or to a potential studio where you might be teaching a beginning class for yourself. Put the name of your teacher training, where you did the teacher training, that included practice teaching. Put any volunteer classes that you have taught, any friend classes that you have taught. I know you, Raisa, have already taught at the doctor's office, even if it was only two or three times. Put those in your resume. Then put in your resume your goal of where you want to teach and who you want to teach. And I know that you were doing health classes in a doctor's office, and you want to teach some classes in English and some classes in Spanish. That is a distinguishing feature for you, that you are bilingual. It's a skill that most yoga teachers don't have. I do speak Spanish, but I would be terrified to try and teach a class in Spanish. I actually worked on it once. It would be very, very hard for me to teach a class in Spanish. So the fact that you can comfortably teach in Spanish is a huge asset, I would think, to community health centers, to schools that might be wanting to offer yoga for parents before or after school, or maybe for the children in kindergarten or first grade who are not yet fluent in English. So there's a lot of distinguishing features about you that so you want to say that you're Spanish bilingual. You want to teach in both English and Spanish. And if it's relevant, put your previous work. And particularly given that you are such a new teacher and don't have a lot of previous teaching experience, you could perhaps put your previous career. You say, I had 5 years in this job or 5 years in this career, or I raised two healthy children, or whatever is your previous career. Then as far as a yoga group or workshop in your house, I have a nice basement. What is your opinion about teaching at home? So my opinion about teaching at home is that it can be wonderful. Some students love it. I did used to teach in my home for quite a while, maybe almost 10 years. I just recently stopped. And the students feel very special, honestly, coming to your home. It feels very personal to them. They feel like they're getting more personal attention than in a yoga studio or especially than in a gym. Now, my cautions are to be very professional about it. You want to set yourself up as a professional. So what does that mean? You need a business license. You need to go to your city and get a business license. You need to make sure that your home is zoned for private lessons. Most places are, but here in my city of Oakland, the limit is 6 students. If I went above 6 students, I would be outside of the law, and I'm not allowed to put a sign on any home business. So the law says that in a residential neighborhood, which this is, you can't put a sign and you can't have more than 6 students. And I believe that's just to not bother the neighbors or not to create a parking problem. If you have more than 6 students, you need to be in a commercial zone, and then that gets around the whole parking thing. So be professional about it. Set your professional boundaries. Let your students know where the bathroom is. Be clear on start and end times. If it is a smaller class, people will probably enjoy having some personal contact, but be really clear that you start and end, and then you need to get back to your life unless you want to invite them for tea or snacks after. Occasionally you can do that. You know, nice thing about teaching in your home is you can have exactly the right props that you want. So let's see, Raisa, if that answers your question, you can just type in if that answers your question or if you have a follow-up question about that. And I will check. I don't see anything coming in. All right. So we have a little bit of time. If anybody else has a request, I think we have time for one more request. You're going to press star 2 to raise your hand. And you can also raise your hand to let us know what you've gotten out of other people's. Okay, we have 2 hands. This is Nassau, New York. Hello?
Oh, hello. It's me, Raisa. Thank you for your answer. Thank you.
Hi, Raisa. Yes, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yes.
That's all?
Yes, that's okay. All for now.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad that was helpful. Okay, then I'm going to unmute. There's no name. Hi.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, who is this?
Oh, this is Annette.
Hi, Annette. Good to hear you.
Hi.
How can I help
you? I'm sorry.
No problem.
No, I had posted my, I'm sorry, I have you on I have posted a question.
Okay.
Trying to, yeah.
On the group mentoring session?
Yeah.
Okay. Looking.
It was pretty lengthy, so.
Okay, and I'm looking here, and everybody is liking, sorry, and I'll get right to you. Everybody's liking the idea, ease into yoga. So good job, Katie. Yes. People are chiming in. Okay, I'm going to read what you said, Annette. I'm sad. It's our final mentoring session. She says, yes. Me too. It's been a great class, but I'm so happy I will be able to attend the retreat. It'll be great to see you. I am pretty much in the same boat as Angela. Yes, indeed, my passion is fitness and yoga, but I don't want to emphasize the fitness too much, although it is part of what I teach. It's secondary to what I offer. Yoga is the foundation. I feel I am a healer. I want to work with people who are not only dealing with weight issues and want to get in shape, but also people, so now I'm remembering, you work with weight, yes, people who are healing, perhaps due to an addiction that led to unhealthy behaviors. My own story is I've had many challenges in my life, but I always managed to nurture my body temple. It was the only thing I could control, okay? Starting a yoga practice gave me the sense of peace I needed when I was in the midst of these challenges. So I'm having a hard time narrowing down to just one particular group. It could be a person wanting healthier lifestyle and or wanting to heal emotionally. Not sure if this is clear. Well, let me ask you a question, Annette. Since you are so far have been working with weight, is weight something you struggled with in your life?
No. No, because okay. I've always been into fitness, but it's my passion. I love helping people that are struggling with that issue.
Mm-hmm. With weight.
With weight. And also in the field of occupational therapy, which I had mentioned before in the bio, the physical consequences, because sometimes they have orthopedic issues due secondary to the obesity. Or,
right, and you're trained
so
as an OT, right? Are you trained
right.
as an OT and licensed as an OT?
Yes.
Okay, that is a huge advantage to be licensed in another field like OT that is related to yoga. So you already have a really, really great gift in a way that you can capitalize on, all your training.
Mm-hmm.
So you enjoy...
I'm sorry.
So you really enjoy helping people who are stressed out and unhealthy and want to get healthy.
Right. Emotionally... as well as physically. I don't know if that makes sense, but because it's pretty much
it does make sense. Yeah.
Connected.
So let me ask you this. See, here's what I think is that a lot of times we know as yoga teachers that they are having an emotional problem, and that's the root, because we know they're connected, right? Mind, body, spirit, heart, all of it. We know
mm-hmm.
that the emotional problem, perhaps the addiction to food or the emotional problems that are keeping them with emotional eating, that's really the root of it. But they just want to lose weight. Or their doctor told them they're going to get heart disease and they better start exercising. Or their doctor told them they're going to have diabetes and they're scared. Or they were just in the hospital with something and now they're out. And there's a motivation that's health. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would consider, and tell me how this can work for you. Here's a recommendation to think about. Is to market to the gateway problem what the beginner who is naive to yoga and to all of your breadth of knowledge thinks they want. And what they think they want is, get me healthy now. I'm in trouble. My health's going downhill. I'm overweight. My doctor tells me to lose weight. And I don't think I ever can because, gee, I've been this weight for 20 years and I'm not going to be able to lose weight. and now my doctor tells me I have heart disease, right? Or all the other consequent problems that come from obesity. And they're frantic about it, and they're panicked, and they don't actually they don't believe they can change. And you come in and you say, I can help you change. I've helped hundreds of people before you with exactly this problem. I'll be there for you. I'll hold your hand. I'll walk you through it. You're going to get better. You can do it. And then what happens is your calmness, your clarity, your understanding how painful their situation is, how awful it was that they just got this diagnosis, that the doctor told them this, that the scale is telling them this, that their friends are telling them this, that their family, that you get it, how bad their situation is, and you care, and you know they can get better, and you're going to help them. And then once you give them the courage to trust you and step into your program, you help them with their fitness. You help them with their emotional health. You help them with their spiritual health because you know they need all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. So here's what happens is, and I was just, I'm in another mentoring program, and one of the women in there is very similar to you. She's a weight loss coach. And she said, but this doesn't feel very spiritual. I want to be teaching people spirituality. And the truth is, we start with the gateway problem because you have to meet people where they are. They don't know it's a spiritual problem yet, or they're too afraid they can never change. And what happens is if you give them hope that they can solve what they think is their core problem, you are doing them a huge service. Then they will step into your work, and then you can meet them spiritually.
Hmm. Okay. Okay.
So if you say you help people with a fitness, you know, that are suffering from obesity and all of the problems that come along with it, if that's heart disease, diabetes, other things, okay, and that then you know in your heart of hearts that once a client starts working with you, it's a spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. But they don't know it yet. Right?
Some of them might, you know. Some of them might know it deep down.
Okay.
They might be, but the pain is, I mean, I'm speaking from family members in this pain. I know what that pain is like. The pain is, doctor told me I can't go to McDonald's anymore, and that's the only place that I have time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I got a kid, and I got a job, and I'm working night shifts. I'm going to say a swear word. When in the hell am I going to get to eat healthy food? And, gee, I did it before for a month, but I can't do it as long as the doctor tells me I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pain.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I'm glad I have to listen to this tape again to sort of get it. But I it was just hard to kind of narrow it and market myself in a particular group, and that's where I was having. I knew it had to do with, you know, healthy behaviors and weight issues, and but I just had a hard time, you know, getting that ideal client.
Well, is your ideal client somebody who's lost hope that they can improve their health? Have they lost hope they can lose weight and get fit again? Have they lost hope that they can recover, improve the health of their heart, or improve their diabetes? People kind of know, they've kind of heard in the back of their mind that diabetes is treatable or reversible, but they don't believe they can do it.
Right. Yeah, that would be my ideal client, I guess. Okay.
Are you suffering from, the challenges related to being overweight? Are you longing to get fit and you just don't know how? Have you lost hope that you could ever be healthy? As you know, that you see people who are healthy and you just don't think you could ever do that. I can help you.
But I also want it to be an issue. Maybe this person doesn't necessarily have a weight issue, but is grieving or something, having an addiction or some kind of addiction that's unhealthy, that I can sort of get this person back.
Okay. So, Annette, I would focus – I would focus for you on food addiction.
Just that. Okay. Okay. Because that's where probably I'm driving myself nuts because I'm thinking about
Don't
too
drive
much.
Yourself nuts. Just narrow it down a little bit because there are so you've got thousands of people suffering from food addiction. You don't even have to call it that, because a lot of them don't self-identify as addicted. They identify as, I'm overweight, my doctor wants me to lose weight, and I don't know how. You know it's addiction to food. They don't know that. Get inside the mind of your ideal client. What do they say about their problem? Write it down. Journal. Think of a person that you know when they first came to you, and write down all the things that they would say to themselves before they found you. No one will ever be able to help me. What am I going to do? The doctor just told me that I've got a problem with my heart, that I have high blood pressure. I don't know how to bring it down. I have always had high blood pressure. This is never going to work.
Okay.
And so I think if you focus on eating and focus on getting fit, being healthy again, you can. You know, have you lost faith that you will ever be healthy again? Have you lost faith that you can really do it, that you can really get yourself fit? Would you love to have someone show you how to get fit even when you've lost faith in yourself? Has your doctor just told you that you need to lose weight or suffer the consequences? Is your family concerned about your weight? Are you worried that do you wish you could be more fit and you just don't know how to do it?
Okay. Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, all right, I'm going to mute that line. So we are done, everyone. I'm trying to mute this one. It's not muting. I'll just go one more time over to the, yeah. We are done with our Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. I send you all so many love and blessings. I look forward to seeing those of you who can be in Florida with us in less than a week. It'll be Sunday night. We'll be seeing each other. Look for the letter that's coming today that'll tell you what to bring. If you're not able to be with us, go ahead and send me an email, laura@divinefeminineyoga.com. Whenever you hear this into April, I'll try to squeeze you in. The sooner the better, but I will try to squeeze you in unless I am already completely full. And I am sending out a blessing again and a gratitude to Durga, that empowered, feminine, strong, clear, passionate, and Kali. May we all release our fears and doubts. Thank you for taking away the ego that is, the small ego that is not helping us. And Saraswati, thank you for guiding us with your beauty, your clarity, your deep flowing wisdom, guiding our programs, and the deep teaching and creativity that's coming out of this group. And Lakshmi, may we radiate sweetness and beauty so the bees, all the people we're meant to serve. Think of all these clients we're meant to serve, the people who are overweight, parents who are stressed, people who speak all kinds of languages needing the yoga teacher who can speak their language, more stressed people. Think of all the men and women we can serve together. Om Shri Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shri Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shri Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Namaste, everyone.